Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is George Lynch from Lynch Mob, Dokken, and a whole bunch of other bands, and you're listening to Cobras on Fire, Rock is Not Dead.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast. Today, we welcome back to the program a true bona fide guitar hero, George Lynch. Another dirty morning in the city. Trying to keep my distance from the rats. Zombies stare, this place it has no pity. Just keep all the cracks.
I'm joined by guitarist George Lynch, a man of many projects. One of them is The End Machine. Their album Phase 2 is out and available everywhere on Frontiers Records right now. And of course, you just wrapped up running a sub 4-minute mile, I assume.
Okay, nobody reads my posts, I swear to God. I think it's my job on social media as an older cat that doesn't know what the fuck he's doing to be entertaining. So, and one of my things is I like to, like, exaggerate and lie and just, but not in any harmful way. I don't lie about
it. I wasn't sure if I should call bullshit on that or not. I don't know.
Well, I wrote it right under there. I said a whole disclaimer. It's a disclaimer. I lie about everything all the time for entertainment purposes only. Do not take this seriously. You know, all this other stuff I wrote. Nobody, it's just like, dude. No, I couldn't run a 4-minute mile if my fucking life depended on it. I went back out after all that, and I did. I timed it, and I ran a 10-minute mile, which is pretty. I mean, that's about me. I was pushing it. I'd never timed myself doing a mile before, as far as I can remember. I didn't even know what the average was, but apparently that's okay. But anyways,
I would need something with wheels to hit the 10-minute mark, I think. But yeah, at least a pair of rollerblades or something. I don't know. Oh. Well, you are in pretty good shape. It's like, well, that's maybe. Well, other than that, how are things? You're noodling away there. Which guitar are you playing?
Kamikaze.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about how to introduce you. I thought it'd be fun. I don't, maybe not so fun for you, but can you name every band or project that you've recorded with? Maybe sequentially.
I don't know. So that's a test and a half. That's like a DMV test.
you want to give her hell?
Let's see. Lorelei, Tungus Grump, The Boys, Exciter, Dokken, Lynch Mob. Then it starts to get difficult. Yeah. LP. Shit. Yeah. TNN. The End Machine. KXM. Ultraphonics. Project Infidelica. Sweet and Lynch. The Banishment. Lynch Mob, of course, which I already said. Did I miss something?
And yeah. Dirty Shirley.
Yeah. There's probably some other little ones in there I'm forgetting about, but whatever.
Well, that was pretty impressive, though, huh? Hmm. You know, for a guy who can run a sub-4-minute mile, then, you know.
Right. Well, that's why I have to run it that fast so I can get to the other project in time.
Hey, you mentioned the Boys. That was a band in the 70s. Were they managed by Kim Fowley? I stumbled across that, but I'm not sure if that's accurate.
No, I didn't actually manage us. We were sort of in bed with him for a little bit, but what he wanted us to do was not something that all of us felt comfortable with, and that was to be a living, breathing space band and walk around like Zoltar X and with our space language and with foil hats on our heads at all times, and didn't care what our music, you know, Kid Valley didn't care anything about the music. You know, I don't give a fuck what you play, what chords. I don't know anything about music. It doesn't matter. It's all about the image. That's all I care about. And that's not what we were about, so it didn't work out.
And have you ever seen the Rock of Ages movie or the play?
No.
One of the side bands in there is called The Boys with a Z. I thought it was interesting.
Huh. That's cool.
The Boys played a showcase for Gene Simmons, I read, too. Is that accurate?
Yes.
You got any cool Gene stories?
Yeah, he made us change. He was kind of like Kim Fowley in that way. He was just like, all about the image, and you guys all your names suck. You need new names. So he made us all new names, and I became Adam Wolf.
Oh.
No, the singer became Adam Wolf. I became John Lynx, JONLYNX. I think Mick or the bass player is Nikki Thunders, and I think Mick was Nikki Thunders. And the bass player was Trevor Rocks with two X's.
I was going to ask, of course.
Yeah, and that lasted for a couple of days, and then we changed our names back to our real names.
Did you ever have any run-ins with Gene after Dokken kind of made it and then talked to him about that at all?
Yeah, we did a freaking tour with him.
Right, but did you ever bring up, like, hey, you remember when you wanted to change my name to Adam Lynx or John Lynx or whatever it was?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember exactly how that all went down, but... Yeah, I did read some, I don't really normally read rock whatever they're called.
Biography. Books about,
yeah. But I did read that the Van Halen one, about the early days of Van Halen, was pretty interesting. There was a thing in there where Gene just makes a very quick mention about us being the band that he actually came to see
okay.
a second time with Ace and about talking about signing us, but he didn't really discuss that in the book, but which was the case. But unfortunately Van Halen came out after us and they just shifted gears and went and, you know, got in bed with Van Halen. But his mention in the book was just, yeah, Exciter was on that too. And they sucked. That's all he said, you know. So
that would have been Exciter that was your Gene was checking.
I think the first time he saw us, we might have been the Boys at Gazzari's, and he liked us and talked to us, and then we said, well, we're playing Starwood, and I think by that time we'd changed our name to Exciter and got a different singer.
About what time frame is this? Like 77?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, the last time we talked, since then, there's obviously been the whole country being locked down and live music basically was put on hold. What sort of adjustments did you personally make as far as, you know, compensating for any, like, I don't know, time or income or scheduling?
I stayed real busy in the studio. I've stayed busy here doing lots of projects, lots of recordings, sometimes outside recordings, and people hire me to do... labels hire me to play guitar on other people's records or, independent artists will ask me to write a song or play guitar or solo or, you know, so I do a lot of that. A fair amount of that. And then, of course, I've got my own projects, which we know, you know about. And I've done a lot of that, did a lot of records in the last few years, you know, average three albums a year.
That's pretty
writing
amazing.
And recording. So, and then I've got my Mr. Scary Guitar business, which is I've had for about 8 years now, and that's we just moved into a new shop, built a new shop and spray booth and getting some things together there. And so that's been doing really well. And I have all my endorsers, ESP Guitars, Arcane Pickups, and different things. So that keeps me busy. And then, you know, I've just got a big family, so that keeps me busy. And we try to stay, you know, we try to stay outside. We're kind of outside, you know, backpackers, adventures, road tripping, camping, you know, whatever it is. We do a ton of that, so.
And California was one of the hardest lockdown states. Did that put a damper on any of that stuff?
Well, sure it did. Yeah, the fires did too.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely made it much more challenging. Everything was shut down, which I never really got that. I mean, shutting down a national forest, that doesn't seem like it's going to solve anything at all. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you actually climbing up that mountain. That's, you know, there might be COVID up that mountain. I mean, that's crazy. But anyways, that's what we had to deal with. And it was between the fires and the lockdowns. It was very challenging and tough to do anything.
They did change the policy locally here on the – because they shut down the state parks. Not too far into the lockdown, they're like, well, we probably don't need to have these closed. But
Where is this?
Just in the state of Minnesota, throughout the state. So. Well, how far were you from the fires? Was it troublesome? I know it was pretty bad there.
Oh, yeah. It was insane. I mean, it was – and it's the worst stuff to breathe. I mean, you know, so we had to install HEPA filters in our vehicles and at home and basically stay inside. You can't go out and exercise. You can't go out and hike. You can't – and even getting out of it, you know, was – I mean, these fires were you know, sending smoke as far as east as Colorado and beyond. I mean, you know, you're talking just a couple day drive just to get out of it. We could not find clean air anywhere. You know, it was really, really kind of nightmarish. Yeah, very apocalyptic.
you never were forced to evacuate or anything like that, though.
We've come close a couple of times as we were on the kind of the edge of civilization out here. So yeah, and we also have a property in out in the desert, which there was a 100 square mile fire and it did burn our roof and we were locked out of the property and we couldn't even get close. And so there's been times when we've thought we're real close to packing up the guitars and the animals and skedaddling, but never been hit except for that one time in the desert. But we had to rebuild the house, actually.
That's pretty real.
Yeah, damaged the roof, and which led to a bunch of other problems. So,
on a not quite a serious note, but still kind of a bummer. The Lynch Mob opening for Dokken tour was canceled because of COVID. You've since decided to stop using the Lynch Mob name, if I got that right. But are you still going to do some sort of tour with Dokken at some point?
Yeah, yeah. We've got a show coming up together in June. I don't know what I'm calling the band yet, but.
Yeah, and for anybody that doesn't know, you want to elaborate on what your reasoning for basically dumping the name?
Well, very obvious, right?
I think so, but yeah.
It's more surprising to me that I held on to it for as long as I did, considering, you know, kind of my worldview and belief system. I just sort of looked the other way and rationalized it. But then as things have heated up to the point that they have now, I just, you know, which is the wrong reason to, I mean, it's never the wrong reason to do the right thing, but I, you know,
I follow you.
Conflicted, you know, I mean, I get it. Okay. It is my name and all that, but that's no excuse, you know? So I feel like a burden has been lifted a bit. So,
so you are going to kind of rename the entity so you can kind of represent the music. Is that what the plan is?
I was thinking George Lynch and the band, but the band being like your band from something, you know, because the band is just so,
like George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Right. You're so badass that people just like, sorry, these guys are just too insane. We can't have them here because they're too good. So George Lynch and the band. I don't know. I think that's kind of cool.
All right.
I have a few other. I have Band of Flakes is another one I like, and the New West, and I don't know. So I'm undecided at this point.
Fair enough. I was looking for a scoop, George, but you know, I guess I'll just have to move on.
I don't have a band yet, so I got to.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, something else I saw on social media that I probably got wrong. You recently tweeted that making the Dream Warriors video was literally a nightmare, and it was on Elm Street. Where you actually?
Well, I don't tweet. I have a social media person okay. that handles everything. The only thing that I interact with is Instagram.
Okay.
But I've never tweeted in my life, so I don't know where that came from.
So what, well, did you enjoy making the Dream Warriors video then?
I don't know if enjoy is the word. I mean, it wasn't anything about it that was particularly not enjoyable. It was just, videos are very boring to make. They take forever. You know, it's like 15 hours of sitting around mostly. And,
You did one video on a volcano. Was that Just Got Lucky? I'm drawing a blank here.
That was probably the coolest video piece I've ever been involved in. That was amazing. Yeah, that was a happy accident, almost an unhappy accident. Yeah. So that me and a crew flew in a little private Cessna with a couple of cameras and hoofed it to an area of the Volcano National Park that we weren't supposed to be in, and little did we know that it was getting ready to erupt, and nobody could find us to tell us because we weren't where we were supposed to be. So that was, and then once we got up, and I've never seen this footage since we did it, and I wish they would find it, but Wayne Isham, I think, was a photographer. I should probably get a hold of him and see if he has it. But they circled, we sat in the plane for like an hour and circled the eruption at night, because we got down off the mountain just as it was getting dark.
Okay.
And it hopped in the plane, and when we took off, it blew sky high, and then we just, flew around it and videotaped. It was just, it should have been, that footage should have been in the video.
Was it always meant that you were going to be there, or was there kind of like a drawing straws kind of thing?
I guess that was my thing. I got picked to be, I don't know, maybe the band knew something I didn't.
There was an interview you did pretty recently here where it came out that Don dropped the news that he was basically breaking up the band right before the Monsters of Rock tour. I'm just curious, how do you go on from that? I mean, it's like, all right, guys, let's go tour.
It mystifies me to this day why somebody would. Timing is as worst possible timing you can imagine. I don't understand.
Did you ever consider quitting?
No. I mean, it was our thing that we did, together. Mm-hmm. I thought that we should have been more of what I thought, we all should have just been real happy with where we'd gotten. We finally achieved to that point where you want to get to in a band, which is a one in a trillion shot. And the last thing you want to do is blow it up.
Yeah, what do you think?
All this hard, to get here in 10 years and all your lifetime before that led to all this. Here you are, and for one person to just do that and destroy it for everyone is just mystifying to me. I get it. It's just based on greed, but
money, yeah,
yeah. But hey, there's enough money for everybody.
Well, the right thing. You'd think so, but. That leads me to wonder, that song Walk Away then, that was the bonus track or whatever you call it on the live record that came out, was that something you guys had already recorded, or did you actually regroup and write a new tune with all that hanging over you?
I don't remember. That's so long ago. I don't know the timeline.
Hey, let me ask you this. What some people get kind of prickly from your ear. What is your thoughts on the term hair metal? You hate it or don't care?
Well, I mean, generally, it's not a genre that you look at too seriously, even though it was the one that allowed me to have a career.
Yeah.
So I, I respect it in that sense that, it's what got me here. But, there are bands from that genre that I really, really like. Rat being one, I like Rat. I love their songs and I love Warren, and I just like what they do, what they did back then. So I don't know. There's a few things that I like about it, but generally, I'm a product of the 60s and 70s, and that's where my heroes are from those eras.
I mean, it was a pretty outrageous time. Was there what do you think of when I say what was one of the most over the top things you were involved in?
As far as what?
I don't know, just promotion, staging, music videos, anything. Anything that maybe you look back and go, oh boy.
Probably missing something obvious here, but just off the top of my head, when I had the great idea to put myself in a harness and an angel suit, or angel, you know, Halloween outfit, whatever you call it, you know, with a halo and a wand and wings, and have the crew pull me up on a pulley system, pull me up into the lighting scaffold and hang over the audience and feathers down on the audience. I had a pillowcase full of feathers. And what that was the end of the tour, and you fuck with the other bands, you know.
Got it.
Kind of a thing that everybody does. So we thought, oh man, how are they going to beat this? You know, it was Aerosmith that we were opening up for, so we were fucking with Aerosmith. So, you know, they're playing their last song or whatever, and I'm now up in the rafters flying around above them, throwing feathers on the stage, you know, and which wasn't really a terrible thing to do to a band, but it was funny, you know.
Yeah.
But what Aerosmith, how they got us back was their crew overpowered our crew and they tied me off up there. Now there's 100,000, you know, watts of lights that I'm sitting up there, you know, 100, 200 feet in the air, melting and just wanting to get down. And the whole audience is just laughing at me. So how that went.
How long were you left up there?
Too long, but I mean, it wasn't crazy long, but yeah. It was a little scary.
It probably seemed longer than it was.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I wanted to tell you that I was looking at that that Lynch Mob high gain add-on for Marshall amps. That thing, that thing looks sick, first of all. But I've never even seen something like that where it's not a permanent mod. You know what I mean? That way you can kind of, if you want to retain the integrity of the original amp, you can still do something like that. I don't even have a question there, George. I just think it looks pretty awesome.
And it sounds better than it looks.
Yeah?
Yeah, it is really. I mean, of course, I'm going to say that. But, I mean, it really is one of those things where you're like, fuck, this gets you there. You know, it's like just where all those guitar players want to go. You know, you want that extra little push. But, you know, it's just always, it seems like you're always giving up something when you do something like that. Like, you plug in a Tube Screamer, you step on it, you lose all your low end.
Yeah.
You get the gain you want, but you lose the low end. So, you know, that doesn't work.
That's right. It's got that little switch to kind of, you know, depending on what you're running through, maybe you want a bass boost a little bit to help with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got the bass cut boost thing. But either way he said it, I mean, you just can't go wrong. I mean, it just pretty much, you know, it sounds good no matter what you do. Yeah. So it's I'm really proud to be part of that because I mean, Bill, you should see all the testimonials and people's emails and all that. They're just over the top, you know, really happy with it. So that makes you feel good.
But it'll only work on Marshall, is that right?
Well, there's a list.
Okay.
Yeah, that you can refer to. We send you a list of everything.
Well, the end machine phase two is out now on Frontier Records. When you do so much work, like you said, three albums a year, when you finish an album, do you sit with it at all, or do you move right on to the next thing?
Well, right to the next thing if there is a next thing. You know, the last couple months there hasn't been a lot going on recording wise for me after I finished the end machine and the Banishment. We're finishing up the mixing on the Banishment right now.
Do you get involved in the mixing typically?
To a certain extent, but I'm, you know, Hayes is the engineer, programmer, mixer. So, I mean, that's his thing. But, no, I mean, we're just, you know, we're Singer and I and Hayes are all talking about the mixes every day, listening and tweaking, you know, making changes and this and that, decisions and arrangement decisions and sounds and things like that. But, you know, Hayes is the guy with his hands on the knobs.
A lot of these frontier things are kind of, everybody's kind of spread out, but you've known Jeff for a long time and you've worked with Robert. Was songwriting done like in person on this, or
As far as the writing? Well, yeah. Normally we do, but with pandemic, no. Pandemic, we had to work remotely, which worked out great. I mean, we started out working together. Jeff and I are very close to each other, so we will work at either, you know, come to each other's house, work at each other's home studios. But we started out like that, and then it just got started, you know, getting to the point where we couldn't anymore. So we had to learn how to do the remote recording. And it was actually, they were saying there's some things about working remotely that I prefer to the traditional way.
Such as?
I seem like I can be a little more focused because there's less distractions. You know, you don't have kids coming in, or wives coming in, or getting phone calls, or, you know, you just, you're focused on the work.
All right on. Did Robert handle the lyrics and melodies, or where did you guys work on that?
We all did. So Jeff and I, you know, got all the music laid out and arranged, and then written and arranged, and then we brought Robert in, and the three of us just sat here every day for, I would say, a week and a half, probably about 10 sessions. You know, good few hours each of just all sitting here with a notepad and a pen in hand and banging it out. You know, what's the concept? What are we singing about? What's the melody here for the hook? We try different things, and Robert, you know, could just try it right on the spot, you know, or he could sing it, or Jeff's a great singer. Jeff could sing it, and I even was, you know, I'm not a singer, but I can get an idea across somewhat, you know. So that's what we did. And then we thought, well, what's the concept? What's this about? But the main thing that was driving the writing was, we need hooks. You know, we need to have a big, something that's memorable and you know, it's just simple and people can digest and isn't challenging.
Well, thanks so much for your time, George. Again, The End Machine Phase 2 is out now everywhere on Frontiers Records. You can find it pretty much whenever you stream or purchase these things. I see there's some vinyl options on it, too, if you're into that stuff. Mm-hmm. Couple standout tracks from my end. I just wanted to say I love Crack the Sky, Blood and Money, and that opening riff to Shine Your Light is pretty badass, too. But
thank you.
And, of course, you are one of my childhood heroes, so it's always a pleasure talking to you. And because of, I'm talking to someone of your ilk. I wanted to ask you, we lost a guitar hero, Eddie Van Halen, last October. I just want to know if you had any thoughts or memories. I don't know how well you knew him or if at all, but what was his impact for George, I guess?
Oh, it impacted all of us tremendously. That was a hard one. That was, you know, it hit really close to home. And of course we did know each other, and, you know, we weren't best friends or anything, but, you know, in our professional careers and coming up in the SoCal, you know, hard rock music scene, we were both hanging out and playing together and ran at each other. And, you know, we had interactions, and then, you know, we did the Monsters of Rock tour together and we hung out a lot on that one. We basically, you know, the nights that Valerie wasn't out, we would go out and just hang out in the hotel room, play all night and drink beers and do that kind of shit. And then it was kind of funny. I did a thing at Henson Studios yesterday for some recording I was doing, and I had four cabinets lined up, and we were kind of decide which cabinets sounded the best. So they opened up the back of one of my cabinet I had bought from Eddie back in the late 70s or early 80s. I can't remember exactly when he went to the Flag System cabinets, and he had these Marshall 412s that had the Tolex all taken off of them. And they had the JBLs, half JBLs, half Celestians. That's what he used on the first couple of records. And I bought one of those from him. I hadn't thought about it for years, and I had it in there, and I go, this is my Eddie cabinet. And they go, can we look inside? And they opened it up, and they go, holy shit, Eddie signed his name in there and everything.
Oh.
And yeah, so I just got that. I had no idea, so it was a kind of a surprise.
That's amazing.
Kind of a gift. So, you know, I mean, he's a big influence on me and everyone else. So, you know, part of his his the way he looked at music, has been reflected in many other players playing. Obviously, we're just incorporating what he did and in our own personal way and playing it forward. I guess the word.
Oh, nice! All the best, George. It's always a pleasure.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
I gotta get another interview.
Okay.
You hold up 1 second while I click
sure.
over. Hold on a second. So, yeah, he's gonna call me back in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to betfredsports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.